Sri Ramachandra, the Brahma Sangita is of most important because not only is it the expressed realization, revelation from Brahma, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Brahma, that Brahma, the Adi Guru at times, he is, and Tene Brahma Hrida, told in the Bhagavatam, Krishna conception is revealed first to Brahma. That's in consonance with what we find in Brahma Sangita, Dibya Saraswati, because there's no world yet, could not be another Saraswati, Dibya Saraswati, of the upper Vaikuntha world, giving the mantram to Brahma. Still is Hotene Brahma Rida, into the heart of Brahma. So in that Brahma, in the Brahma Sangita, which is, was discovered by Mahaprabhu, right, becomes very of increasing significance, because when Mahaprabhu goes on his South Indian tour, he's Hare Krishna. What's the problem? You wear black, all black, he doesn't like it. Especially at night. Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu discovered the Brahma Sangita. More than one thing, also Krishna Karnamritam of Bilva Mangal Thakur. And he brought them with him, and we're told he shared them with his intimate devotees. So it was great delight for all, for Mahaprabhu and all of his followers. And within that, everything we need to know philosophically, siddhantically, is compacted there. And it so perfectly supports the Gaudiya Siddhanta. Guru Maharaj said, there are those who say, actually, Brahma Sangita was written by Mahaprabhu. And they're telling Brahma Sangita, actually, it was his own work. And mentioning Saraswati, sometimes she puts words in the mouth of others. So Guru Maharaj said, if that were true, that it was actually a work by Mahaprabhu, it would be even more valuable, not less. They're saying it would be less authoritative. You think, no, if it was a composition of Mahaprabhu, then its stature somehow mystically increased. But it is Brahma Sangita, and we're told the fifth chapter. 100 chapters, and this is the fifth chapter. And there, how we shall understand Krishna and his avatars, there is mentioned. Because it begins by saying, Ishvara Parama Krishna, the supreme, the Parameshvara of all Ishvaras. Because Ishvara is rendered as controller, but it also means God. It's like this Sanskrit word, one of the Sanskrit words for God. In contemporary Bengali, it means God. So he's saying the supreme God, as it were. Because people are confused. They think, oh, in India, 33 million gods and counting. They could be making more as we speak. Right? And Mark Twain said, when it comes to religion, India is the only millionaire. So people think, oh, then how to understand? I mean, how could you possibly keep track of everyone? You know, and if everybody's supreme, then nobody's supreme. Well, not exactly. Like the Thai people like to say, same, same, but different. That's the Thai version of Achintya Bheda Abhed. So it's not confusing. If you understand the system, it's actually enlightening, liberating, and a very beautiful thing, and points to the infinite variegatedness of Krishna and how he chooses to express himself in different ways. But there in the beginning, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And we, if someone says, well, you know, but which Krishna? If there's Krishna, Dwaraka Krishna of Mathura, Krishna Vrindavan, also there's a Krishna of Vaikuntha, a four-armed Krishna. There's Anadi Adir Govinda, not Krishna, who's Govinda. That means Govinda means the cowherd boy Krishna, not the Dwarka king Krishna like that. No, Govinda. The whole book keeps saying after each expression, each revelation, Govindam started with this Anadi Adir Govinda. And then the section comes, that Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, every time, 40-something times or more. I forget how many. Each line ending with that Govinda. And he's can be understood in all these different ways. It all comes back to him. And one such story says, Ramadi, Rama, it means Rama, Nrisinga, like in those songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How's it going? Nrisinga Vamana, Sri Madhusudana, Rajendra Nandana Shama. It starts, you know, you just saying, you can put all the names of the avatars and different names of Krishna together in various ways, and it makes songs. It's a joyful collection. So many of these songs, but there he's like, Sri Nisringa Vamana, Sri Madhusudana, Rajendra Rama, and Rama's mentioned there too. Andanacha. Anyway, here it says, Ramadi Murtishu Kalanyamena Tishtan, Nan Avatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu, Krishna Swayamyak Sambhava Paramak Pumanyo, Govinda Mari Purusham Tambahamajami. So Rama and others, Ramadi, Murtishu, these different Nana Avataram, Nana Avataram, and all these various avatars. Krishna Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna. Just as when we know, and Gita Govinda, no less, the Das Avatars Stotram comes from Gita Govinda, written by Jayadev Goswami, right? Rama, Sharira. Now, he's mentioned there and others. And the Bhagavatam, perhaps 24 principal avatars. Because when it comes to avatars, it's mentioned there. They are as innumerable as the waves of the ocean. But they are prominent. So Rama is given there. But Krishna is also mentioned. And we're told, Suta Goswami, who was in the audience when Sukadev spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, and he later Naima Shetre, Nimishak Shetre, Rishaya, Shonakaldaya, Shvatam, Sargaya, Lokaya. So he speaks the Bhagavatam to the 60,000 sages who, at the onset of Kali Yuga, they had assembled there to perform a yajna. And he's telling what he heard, Sukadev tell Parikit Maharaj. But in this list of avatars, because Krishna is also given in a list, as Kaviraj Goswami says in expressing Mahaprabhu's position, if someone says, is he not Kiradakshai Vishnu? He's saying, that may be. He said, but considering he's Swayam Bhagavan, to refer to him as Kiradakshai Vishnu isn't the highest praise you could offer him. I mean, here it's getting into an ontological considerations. But the point to be made, Sutta Goswami is thinking Krishna was in the list, and if they think, remember the nine cantos preceding the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which includes the advent of Krishna, his childhood pastimes, his pastimes with the cowherd boys, cows, and ultimately the Kishore pastimes with Srimati Radharani and Braja Gopis, culminating in Rasa Leela. It's important that everyone understands who this Krishna is, who appears to be breaking the laws of religion. Two, he appears to be acting immorally. How in this holy, this is the magnum opus, the masterwork of Srila Vyasadeva. So this is the ultimate expression of religion. So it will have to be clear what is the position of Krishna. So he, Sutta Goswami, thinking that because he's in the list of the 24 I just mentioned, they may think he's equal, on an equal level with the others, or the others are on an equal level with him. Same, same, but different. He says, Ete cha angsa kalak pungsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. But out of all of them, Swayam Bhagavan, the original of originals, is Sri Krishna. And the others are Dipartya eva dasantam abhupetya. He's saying, deep means a candle. When you have one original candle, and you light another candle, another candle, another candle, the others are equal in their capacity to give light, illumination, but still there is one original. So, Krishna is Ramachandra. This, and is Nrisimha. Swayam Bhagavan. When Krishna appears, they all assemble within him. Same avatar sar gaur avatar. When Mahaprabhu appears, all the avatars are within him. So he can show in the house of Murari Gupta, who is Hanuman, by the way. He can show in his house Varaha. He can show Nrisimha. He sometimes plays as Balaram. He's showing different forms because that is his play. So we need to understand then how they are the same, that it is Krishna in different guise, playing in a different capacity, and exchanging and loving pastimes with different devotees. But the full expression of his sweetness is reserved and for Krishna Leela, and his full capacity to play beyond any moral considerations. Because why should we impose moral stricture, constraint upon the supreme unconditioned being? Even on unconditioned, liberated souls, we do not. What to speak of the supreme of the unconditioned, the Supreme Lord Himself. So, Krishna's playing in different ways. Therefore, it's told, you know, Leela, there are Leela avatars. And Yuga avatars, Manvantara avatars, Shaktivesha avatars, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars. But the Leela avatars play in different ways. Vamandev, Varaha, Nisringadev, Kurma. And actually, all of these pastimes, really, if we look as an overview, they're taking you in a particular direction. They're not just random accumulations of interesting, mind-blowing tales. There's some structure there, and towards and their movement, divine movement, and as we see in Vaikuntha, as we told, Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sura Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prabhadade. The beginning of leaving this world, but on the cusp of the spiritual world and spiritual realization, Vasudev. But thinking of Krishna alone, Vaikuntha proper begins Krishna, Shakti, and Shaktiman. Krishna is Vishnu, and Radharani's counter. Kalani Amena Hura Ananda Chinmaya Sadujwala Vigrahasya. No, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitavis Tabiri Eva Nijarupataya Kalavi. So Lakshmi and Narayan, but 2.5 rasas in Vaikuntha means Shanta Dasya, half, in the case of some old time servitors, the beginnings of some type of friendship. It's different types of friendship. Sometimes the old time servitor has a certain level of friendship. But there's no, Guru Maharaj once said, there are no young things in Vaikuntha. They're talking about Balaji, the deity, who the opposite of Krishna's trick on the Braja Gopis. Ramanuja wanted to see him with forearms. But anyway, Guru Maharaj meant it, no young things in Vaikuntha. There's no birth pastimes in Vaikuntha. So Rupa Goswami says in Upadesamrita in a condensed form, Vaikuntaj Janido Bara Madhupuri. Or it says, he left from Vaikuntha to Mathura. And Krishna is born in Mathura. But here we want to consider Ayodhya. Because in these pastimes, Ramachandra is born, there's brothers, there's also Vatsalya Rasa from the parents, right? That when we talked the other day of Nityananda Prabhu being taken by the sannyasi from the house of Harai Pandit, Harai Pandit was thinking, the only way he could think of that his situation was similar was the pastimes of Ramachandra and how Maharaj Dasarath felt at the loss of Ramachandra, but it was in the company of Lakshman. That mirrored the sentiments in his heart. So what was the point I was saying? Oh, so Vatsalya Rasa and the introduction of Madhura Rasa, but limited to one wife. Ek Patni means Sita Devi. And here, unlike Krishna, Krishna is totally unrestrained, like unrestrained, unfiltered, but scripted by Baladeva and Yogamaya, the pastimes of Krishna. But in Dwaraka, there are 16,108 queens. So there's the expansion of Madhura Rasa to many, whereas the Parakiya, Paramore, is reserved for Vrindavan. But in Ayodhya, Ekapatni, one wife does Ramachandra have. Maharaj Dasarath had thousands of wives, but Ramachandra only has one, Sita. And that Ramachandra, on the eve of his coronation, you know, the Ramayana is very extensive, just to give in a nutshell, that on the eve of his coronation, one of those queens of Dasarath, who expressed in this pastime some envy towards Ramachandra, she called the favor that she was due to her. And that was that her son, and not Ramachandra, be enthroned, and that Ramachandra be sent into exile on the eve of his coronation. The whole place is celebrating, everything's so happy. Things couldn't be better. They're wonderful. And we're told that Ramachandra, without hesitation, he does not question this or say, "Did I hear you clearly?" Without hesitation, immediately, he prepares to go to the forest. This we have to understand. When we talk about dharma or obligations, being ruled by dharmic obligations and responsibilities, as soon he's on the eve of his coronation, as soon he's told, "All right, coronation canceled, you're in exile." Or Saint Lakshman, "Prepare, we shall go to the forest." And incidentally, Guru Maharaj is saying, this is why Nityananda Balaram, he expresses in another context, like, why these pastimes are not his favorite. Because this is the only one where he's younger. So he cannot, because whenever he's older, we see the personality of Balaram, Nityananda. You cannot control him. But here, he's the younger brother. He cannot go against the order of the elder brother, which he wants to. The real mood of Balaram, Nityananda, is find out who the opposition is and crush them. But here, he cannot, due to being the junior. He has to, you know, grit his teeth and follow Ramachandra, and we see they take the dress of mendicant, and with Sita Devi, the inconceivably beautiful, faithful chaste Sita Devi, they go to the forest. It's heartbreaking. And even Bharat, who had to rule the throne in his absence, we're told he wouldn't sit on the throne, but rather he put the shoes, the padukas of Ramachandra, on the throne. And thought, "I'm just a proxy." Because at one point, I mean, there's so many pastimes there, but at one point, if a shadow was being cast, someone was flying over and a shadow was cast upon them, that person was shot down. It turned out to be Hanuman, and that's another story. But it says how protective he was of the padukas of Ramachandra. Right? And that's Tadiyanam Samarja. The paraphernalia of the Lord is as worshipable as he is. He had that sort of vision. But in exile in the forest. It's, Ravana, who was the king of Sri Lanka at the time, and actually like trying to conquer the world, he got this idea about kidnapping Sita Devi. And we know in the end, when he's lying dying and Ramachandra sends Lakshman to get some advice from him, to the surprise of everyone, he said, no, he's a knowledgeable person. He may have some good advice to give you. And Lakshman approaches at the head, and Ramachandra, no, at the feet for spiritual instruction. You should go to the feet. He's at the feet, and Ravan gives the famous statement, Subhasha Shigram Ashubha Kalohanam. That which is auspicious, you should do without hesitation immediately. And that which is inauspicious, you should wait and wait and delay, and as long as possible, avoid that. And he said, look at me. I had these good programs, the mango program, as we were talking about the other day. The mangoes come from Sri Lanka, Stairway to Heaven, other things, benefiting the citizens. And he said, and I desisted, I got sidetracked on what? Kidnapping Sita Devi. Against all good advice, everyone told me not to do this. I knew I shouldn't do it. Inside, I knew it too. And that, I rushed into it, against all good advice and consideration. And look at me now. So what is my advice to you? Subhasha Shigram Asubha Kalohanam. What is auspicious, do immediately. And what is inauspicious, you should delay. When we were making life members in Calcutta, you meet with so much opposition in this type of preaching, collecting. And so one of them you always get is where they say, I'll have to ask my wife, or I have to ask my mother, or I have to think about it. And that's when we say, tell them this story about Ravan. And then Lakshman say, Mr. Jajodia, that which is auspicious, this, you agree this is auspicious. Yes, it is very auspicious. All right. That which is auspicious should be done immediately. And what is inauspicious, you should delay and delay and delay. And they say, It goes to the core of Indian DNA. They're hardwired to accept what is dharmic. And it goes to Ramachandra. He's the ideal king, the ideal grihastha, and he's ideal in every way imaginable. But there, we're told, who is it? Mahi Ravana and others, they have missed it. They're like evil magicians. They have different powers. And powers to deceive, to imitate, deception through imitation. And so at one point, Ramachandra, he has to leave Sita Devi with Lakshman. And he tells, Lakshman, do not abandon her under any circumstances. And Ramachandra goes off. And it's by imitation someone, I forget whether it's Mahi Ravana or others, but they can imitate the voice of Ramachandra. And he's going, Lakshman, help! Help me! Like, he's in danger, he's going to die, he needs Lakshman's help. He's crying out for Lakshman's help. And Lakshman's saying, Ramachandra said, do not abandon Sita Devi. And there's the famous Lakshman Rekha. He makes a circle around her, a protective circle, and said, as long as you remain within this circle, you're protected. And to show you how deep these things are in India, you can buy Lakshman Rekha at the local store. And it's for, like, keeping insects and roaches out of your kitchen. You take, it's this chocolate, and you draw it around, and it's supposed to keep them out. So that's, when I talk about the Indian DNA, it goes deep. Anyway, Lakshman makes that circle and tells Sita, you stay here as long, no one can penetrate this circle. It's mystic power. And he goes searching for Ramachandra. And like it says in the verse, Takta sudushtadushrev chitarajalakmin, so he had to give up the imperial throne. Dharmista arjavachasad, the curse of a Brahmin. What was the curse, we should say also, that back to Nrisingadev, when Nrisingadev was roaring, an inconceivable roar, like 10 million lions, one Brahmin's wife had a miscarriage, being frightened by that. And that Brahmin said, I curse you that in the future life you won't remember who you are. You're cursed with self-forgetfulness. You won't know who you are. And that's what we're talking. In this pastime, Ramachandra, because it's also like a Prakrita Leela, he's not thinking of himself as divinity, and it's significant, but as a king, and he must follow the rules of the king, and the Rajaniti, and morality, moral restraints, so many things. So this is where that curse has taken its effect, that he will lose self-consciousness. And Yadagar Aranyam, Aranya means, and have to go to the forest. Mayam ridam doita ipsita anvadavad. And Maya, here, who was it? What's it starts with an M?
Marichi.
Pardon me?
Marichi.
Takes the form of a little acute deer, a fawn, a baby deer, that's so cute and playful. And Sita Devi is waiting, and she sees the little deer jumping around and playing, coming near her, and then going, running away. She wants to, like, pet the deer, cuddle the deer, and the deer comes and then jumps back, and ultimately gets her to leave that circle. And now she's not protected. And then Ravana comes down. So there's also the story of Jatayu. We cannot recall the whole Ramayana at this point. There's some valiant defense from the Lord's devotees, but she is captured, apparently. And that's a significant word, apparently. When Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he collected Brahma Sangita, Krishna Karnamritam. But in one town, he met a Ram Bhakta named Ramdas Bipra, and who had extraordinary devotion to Ramachandra. But when Mahaprabhu met him, he was fasting and very distraught. And Mahaprabhu said, why? And he said, I can't digest that the demon Ravana has kidnapped Sita. It brings too much pain to my heart to think of that. That a demon of that quality and caliber, that he will take her by the hand and kidnap her and take her to Sri Lanka. I cannot digest this. My heart is full of pain and sadness. We're told Mahaprabhu, after meeting him, he continued on, and he was in a town where they had a copy of the Kurma Purana, which is ancient Mahapurana in the six special, so it's 18, in the category of the Bhagavatam. And there it's mentioned that when Ravana's approaching Sita, that Sita took shelter of Agni, the fire god. And Agni, by his mystic power, manifested a Chaya Sita, a shadow of Sita, a Mayak Sita. And that Ramachandra, that Maya Sita, he grabbed by the hand and took on his airplane. And so when Mahaprabhu discovered that, he was very happy. And it's interesting because it mentions that they copy, but they leave the copy and take the original to that Brahmin. He wants him to see it. And he shows him. And then he becomes very happy. And he can now stop fasting, and he's full of joy, and knowing that Sita Devi was never, and as Guru Maharaj said, what to speak of touch her? He's saying a demon like Ravana, he cannot see the divine form of Sita Devi. That cannot be seen with mundane eyes. What to speak of touch her, kidnap her. Mm-hmm. But as we hear in the pastime, she has all the ornaments of Sita Devi. Sita Devi now is kidnapped by Ravana and flying back to his kingdom in Sri Lanka. And she's, unbeknownst to him, removing her bangles, earrings, whatever jewelry she has, and she's dropping them along the way, creating a trail, markers of a trail. So that later, when Ramachandra teams up with Hanuman, Ramachandra, Lakshman, Hanuman, Sugriva, and the others, when he sees the jewelry of Sita Devi, Ramachandra becomes very excited, thinking like, oh, look what she's done, how clever, it's sending us in the right direction. He said, Lakshman, look, see. And it's very interesting. The only jewelry Lakshman can recognize is Nupur, ankle bell. And he says, I don't recognize any of the other jewelry, because Lakshman, although she was arguably the most inconceivably beautiful woman in the world, beyond the world, he never looked above her ankle. So he said, what is earring or bracelet? I've never seen those. So what is the qualification to participate in these pastimes? How qualified do you have to be to enter that plane? And Ramachandra, when he leads the group to the southern tip of India, which is like Rameshwaram. I don't know if anyone here has ever been there. But when you look, there's a bridge or remnants of a bridge. But by the way, once someone some years ago, they showed me some NASA photograph that indicates that there's some bridge, you know, underneath the water that can be seen from outer space. And I said to them, our evidence is, you know, omni, revealed truth, what's given in the Bhagavatam, Ramayana, that we accept. NASA is not mentioned, you know, NASA Praman, right? That like, and if NASA tells you next week, oh, sorry, it was something else, then your faith is gone because you believe in NASA. We don't believe in NASA. It's not that we disbelieve, but that's not why we believe in spiritual things. It's not to do with the culture of faith. What's given in Ramayana, Bhagavatam, our Guru Varga, that we have faith in. When Mahaprabhu brings that page, the scripture, and I realize because he brought the original and they left a copy, this leaves room for doubt. There's always, things are always done in such a way to accommodate what's called Asura Mohan, to bewilder the Asuras. If someone wants to disbelieve, they can say, well, this is in the original page. This was obviously written in later. So it's always a question of faith. So do you have faith that Mahaprabhu brought him the original page or that they produced something counterfeit, some counterfeit substance, and inserted that in the book? These two things are always going on and will always go on within this world. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam and different places. In one place it says, whatever learned Brahmins say will always be accepted as the truth. It's like, you quote your slokas, I'll quote my slokas. Right? That's why in Gaudiya Math, Guru Maharaj said, out of hand, they summarily dismiss everyone except someone who says, you know, in the Kurma Purana, it says this, then they listen. If you quote some authentic, then that they'll have to deal with. The Upanishads say this, then they'll give some adjustment if it's real. But if it's not, it's not. If it doesn't qualify in this way, they're not giving their attention. As I mentioned before, the Sandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami begin with the premise that the Bhagavatam is the ultimate evidence. If you don't accept that, you can't even enter in this conversation. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. All this, Mahaprabhu, you want to say? Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanaya Taddama Vrindavanam. Saying the highest type of worship, you put it in four lines. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesa Tanaya Tada is, Ramya Kachid Brajabadu Bargena Jakalpita. What was the Kalpita? What was imagined, Guru Maharaj once said, what was invented by the Brajagopis? And I like that word because they say, some people, pragmatists, like to talk about adventures of the intelligence and the creations of writers and thinkers. And say, okay. Vishwanath Chakrabarti is saying, there's no superior invention from the mind of what's been invented from the minds, hearts and minds of Radharani and the Brajagopis, how to worship the Lord. This is supreme. And so you say, that's the Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas like to say these things. Krishna is the supreme, Vrindavan's the highest domain, and the way the Radharani and Brajagopis worship Krishna, there's nothing higher than that. Then when you say, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. No, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala, Pramanam Amala, pure, spotless, it's not tinged by anything. This, the Srimad Bhagavatam says this is true. And what does it say beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha? The you know, what do you call it? This is Panchama Purusharta, the fifth goal, Prema Pumarto Mahan, that Krishna Prema is the ultimate goal. So, Ramachandra, when he comes to that ocean, he's so angry. This is divine anger. He's summoning the god of the ocean. And just by the way, oceans are male, rivers are female. Trees are male, creepers are female. So he's summoning the lord of the ocean, who's a little slow in appearing. So Ramachandra he's so angry. His eyes become like fiery red, and there's the heat generated from the anger in his eyes starts making the temperature in the ocean rise to like a boiling point where they're all begging for some mercy, and the god appears and he realizes whom he's dealing with in the form of Ramachandra. Still, the nature of the pastimes is such as they build a bridge. And Hanuman, who like has Mahima, he has Anima Siddhi, he did surveillance of Sri Lanka in a miniature form. Remember, he got a running jump. He leapt from the southern tip of India to Sri Lanka. It's around 800 miles. Was that 1,200 kilometers? 1,400, something like that. By leap, he expanded his form and leapt on the top of mountaintops as a springboard. But when he got there, then he made himself like the size of a mouse, and he went around doing surveillance in the city. But he's capable of, as he did before, you know, in the Ramayana, when he was uncertain about the Gandha Mandara mountain, and which had the medicine to cure Ramachandra and Lakshman, he just clipped the whole mountain. And you see that picture where he's flying, bringing the mountain peak back. He knows the medicine's in there somewhere. Someone who knows can recognize it. He's not going to come back empty-handed. But so Hanuman's throwing giant boulders in the water, and we're told there are these like squirrel chipmunks. They're also going with their little, like picking up some sand and throwing, you know, sand. And Hanuman's coming with giant boulders, and they're getting in his way. And he's becoming annoyed with them. And then at one point, he kicks one of them. And whether he did it on purpose or by accident, we're not sure. And so he's knocked out. The little chipmunk is like knocked out. And so Ramachandra takes the chipmunk and puts him on his palm and starts stroking him. And he says, Hanuman, you're a super servitor. So you can put these giant boulders, saying, but these squirrel chipmunks, they're according to their capacity, they're also serving and helping. And I thought, yeah, just like you see here, where there's tiles, the grout is what keeps them all in place and makes the whole thing work. You have to have the grout. So it's not like it's a fan, they're doing something valuable. And then Ramachandra is stroking that squirrel, and then the squirrel comes back to kind of his eyes open, and he's saying, oh, Ramachandra, he's Indian squirrel. Ramachandra, my lord. Very happy. He's like, whoa, I'm in his palm being stroked by him. And they say, when you see those squirrels this day, it looks like they have three green stripes from where he was petting them. So many things are there. And the Bhagavatam in the second canto, where they're like summary descriptions of the different avatars and their pastimes, it says that at one point when they're fighting on the battlefield, and it's quite a conglomeration of, like, besides the monkeys and the bears, some very peculiar looking beings is all I can say. And they're fighting, and at one point Ravana, Indra's elephant, Airavata, hits Ravana, and he's so powerful that Indra's elephant shatters in contact with the chest of Ravana, and he's laughing. He's saying, like, I'm so powerful. And it says, but, it says, his laughter along with his joy and his life air all ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramachandra. So right in the midst of his laughter, Ramachandra, direct hit, killed Ravana. And they recaptured, I mean, they reclaimed Sita and go back to Ayodhya. And they have to, she's been the wife, she's his wife, she's been in the house of another man for a year. So to certify her purity, they want, like, a firewalk test. I remember, who did she take shelter of? The real Sita, Agni. So the Maya Sita is walking into the fire. Agni withdraws her and he presents the real Sita, comes out the other side, because the idea, if there's any impurity in her, she will burn. If she's 100% pure, she'll walk through the fire unscathed. Which she does. And you think everything's going to be happy now. Sita and Ram, they're back in Ayodhya with Ram and Lakshman, Shatrughna, Bharat, Shatrughna, everyone. And you really, as you're reading this, you're sort of deceived into thinking it's going to be happily ever after. And you can't be happier. And you've read through thousands and thousands of slokas that come to this point. And everybody's happy. They're celebrating. And then one low-class man, Ramachandra, would sometimes go incognito to hear what the citizens are talking about, how they're doing, you know, if they're happy in the kingdom. And one low-class man, he overhears him saying to his wife, he goes, that Ramachandra, he may take his wife back after she's in another man's house for a year, but I'm not that kind of man. So not a high-class man, no, a low-class man made this type of remark. And he heard that. And it's back to the curse. He will not remember who he is, that he's God himself. He's beyond all of this. He's acting within the constraints of Rajniti, proper royal behavior, constraint, morals. So if one citizen, and they're the quality of the kingdom itself, if one citizen doubts the position of the king, that has to be addressed. So suddenly these pastimes start going in another direction. He has to banish Sita. And then you think, this cannot be. And then to make things worse, you find out she's pregnant. So he banishes the pregnant Sita. And I remember I had borrowed Janardhan Mars's books of Ramayana, and I was reading this in Russia, actually. When I got to this part, I had to stop reading the book and go for a walk. I could not understand this. It was really difficult to... I thought, I have to hear what Guru Maharaj says about this. And I did hear what Guru Maharaj said. And he said, this is Ramachandra. He's sacrificing his own happiness for the happiness of the citizens. Right. And Sita. So, and but again, this is Leela. Where does Sita go? Where is she taken in? The ashram of Valmiki, who pens the Ramayana. And there in his ashram are born Love and Kush, her sons. But while she's there, as Guru Maharaj told, these are pastimes of separation. See, separation is being introduced in the most unexpected, inexplicable way. Now the hearts of the devotees are breaking with separation. I mean, the heart is breaking open by these pastimes to get at its real wealth. So the time comes for Ramachandra to perform Ashwamedha Yajna, and on the advice of the Brahmins, they say, you know, you should take another wife. You have to have a wife by your side to perform this sacrifice properly. So they're advising, you know, and a king can, and Vedic culture and other cultures, but particularly Vedic culture, they have numerous wives. We're told his father had thousands. They have principal queens, second, so many. And Ramachandra, he refuses to marry another and have another queen. So, but they reach an adjustment by constructing a murti of Sita of solid gold. Sita, who, she is solid gold. She's more than solid gold. But so they make a murti of Sita to be on his left side, to do the yajna. And it's showing his ek putni, one wife, his fidelity to her. Lest we think, oh, he banished her when she... No, that was... He's sacrificing his happiness for the happiness of the citizens. Remember, on the Tyaktva Sudusha Shurepshita Rajalakshmin, Mahaprabhu gave up the imperial throne of the Gaur Prem, the Krishna Prem, in the heart of Vishnu Priya for us, for all the fallen souls. So, news reaches Sita at Valmiki's ashram that Ramachandra refused to accept another queen, and he has your golden murti by his side. And she became very overwhelmed with joy and happiness, and she thought, whatever was done, that was external, and for the citizenry and everyone else, but he did not banish me from his heart. I'm still in his heart, and that is my happiness, knowing that. So, but later, they join together, and Ramachandra takes the whole of Ayodhya back to the spiritual world at the conclusion. But this is at the heart of the matter, how this story is utterly heartbreaking and liberating at the same time. And how beautiful Ramachandra is. Remember, Krishna is reality to beautiful. Ramachandra is inconceivably beautiful. And they made another Yajna Sita. How beautiful was he? These Yajna Sitas made from gold, the what was inanimate, they became animate, right? And expressed their love for Ramachandra, and he placated them by saying, in this pastime, Ekpatni only Sita, the original, but when I appear as Krishna, then your heart's desire will be fulfilled. So the Yajnasitas, the Dandakaranya Rishis, when they saw Ramachandra, were filled with amorous sentiments, not of the mundane type. And were understood, in Krishna's pastimes, you'll appear as Brajagopis, the Veda Stutis, and others. But here, the Dandakaranya Rishis and the Yajnasitas. So how compelling is this beauty? What was animate, not only became animate, but expressed Madhura Rasa sentiments. But, again, what is the point to? That sort of ultimate sweetness, in seductive term, is only reciprocated, fully expressed and reciprocated in Krishna Leela. And we know in Gaur Leela, Murari Gupta, who's a Vaidya doctor, he's Hanuman. Hanuman appears as Madhvacharya and also as Bhima and Murari Gupta. And as Murari Gupta, at one point, Mahaprabhu wants to upgrade him to Krishna conception. And so he's preaching to him strongly about the superiority of the sweetness, charm, beauty of Krishna. As we can only imagine, Mahaprabhu can. And Murari Gupta, his heart is in a dilemma. He goes home that night, he's thinking, it may be true, everything he says about Krishna in comparison to Ramachandra. But I can't withdraw the lotus feet of Ramachandra from within my heart. That's not possible. So he's thinking, he has to show himself to Mahaprabhu the next day, and he's thinking, the only way I can get out of this dilemma, the best thing for me will be tonight. If before the sun rises, I die. If I die tonight, then I won't have to go before him and say, tell him what my situation is. The sun rises, he's still living. And he goes before Mahaprabhu and he said, I cannot withdraw. I appreciate everything you're saying about Krishna. I know who you are. But I can't withdraw the lotus feet of Ramachandra from my heart. And Mahaprabhu laughs and writes on his head, Ramdas. He said, no, you're cannot be changed. And that's why he is the Asraya Vigraha of Dasya Rasa. And the Brajagopis and everyone worships Hanuman for this type of fidelity to his Lord. Cannot change, cannot be broken. Nothing will change the love and affection and fidelity in his heart. And he can force Krishna to show Rama. As when Garuda saved Ram and Lakshman at one point, and Ram's asking him, any benediction you'd like? And Garuda, remember, all the devotees have different sort of vision. Yeyatam mam prapadyante. Garuda's saying, I want to see your form of Krishna. And Ramachandra saying, if I do that, Hanuman will be disturbed. He's saying, I have a solution. And Garuda, with his wings, he makes a special room that no one can see in. Really. And it's completely private. And then Ramachandra shows that he's Krishna. And Garuda's very happy. But maybe the feathers, there's little, you know, some you can see through some of the feathers. Hanuman, what? I'll show you, Garuda, in the future, who is who. And we're told later when Krishna was in Dwarka and he said, sent Garuda on a mission, he said, I need 108 blue lotus flowers. They're available on a certain mountain. Garuda's going there and he comes along the road. The Vedic etiquette is you should never step over a living being, what to speak of, human or higher type of being. And you see, there's a big monkey lying on the road. And Garuda's saying, monkey, move out of the way. Oh, I'm so old and tired, I can't move, go around. No, you don't understand. I am Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu. Krishna sent me on a mission to get 108 blue lotus flowers. So move out of the way. And I'm thinking, 108 blue lotus flowers? Oh, I'm so old, I can't hardly move. And Garuda, with those powerful wings that can create tsunami, he starts flapping his, like to blow him off the road. And so Hanuman's power is such that not one hair on him moved. And he reached up and grabbed Garuda and stuffed him under his armpit. And Garuda's like, 108 blue lotus. Said, don't worry about that. And Hanuman, he's going. And he gets 108 blue lotus flowers, comes down to Dwaraka. And Sudarshan Chakra is spinning. Who's there? Monkey. No monkeys allowed. Go away. Hanuman, what? No, I'm on a mission. But no monkeys allowed beyond this point. Sudarshan starts spinning to show his power. And Hanuman, we're told, with that mahima, makes himself larger, sticks out his finger, and Sudarshan becomes a ring on Hanuman's finger. And he has Garuda underneath. And he goes inside. And Krishna knows, oh, Hanuman's coming. He says to Satyabhama, I'll show Ramachandra, you show Sita. But Satyabhama, she's not agreeable. She's saying, no. Only me. Then he goes, hide. Rukmini, you become Sita. She's more submissive. Okay. Satyabhama's hiding under the bed. And then they're showing Sita and Ram. And then Hanuman comes, presents the 108 blue lotus flowers. Ram, 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 Sita Ram, Jai Sita Ram. Yeah. And Ramachandra and Sita, oh, Hanuman, we're so happy to see you. Anything you want to know from us? And Hanuman says, no, everything is fine. I only have one question. Who is that hiding under the bed? So Gurumar said, here, he contradicts the science of devotion as it's normally understood by his dasya. He's showing his superiority over Garuda, Sudarshan Chakra, and Satyabhama. So how great is Hanuman, the eternal, forever servitor of Sri Ramachandra. And Ramachandra is so beautiful and sweet, compelling this type of devotion from Hanuman. Hare Krishna Jai, Sri Ramachandra, Sri Rama Navami Ki Jai, Sri Ramachandra Abhirbha Mahamahotavatiti Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.